start off just by saying, this is a hard story. This is a difficult story that Jesus tells, and it's not easy to understand what's going on. It's also hard because it's a conversation about money. And we don't like to have conversations about money. At least I don't like to have conversations about money. Sometimes people come to church and they think that's all the church ever talks about is money. And other times they feel like, well, we don't talk about it enough. Or when we talk about it, we're not sure what to say about it. But Jesus talked about it a lot. He talked about money and how we use it and its power. So we're going to jump into this story today. So if you have your Bibles, turn please to Luke chapter 16. And so let's set the stage a little bit. Jesus is in the midst of here having told a number of stories, and he's talking to his disciples, and he's teaching them what it looks like to live in the kingdom of God. Immediately prior to this, he's been hanging out with some of the lowlife, some of the tax collectors, and some of the sinners, and the religious leaders said, why are you doing this, Jesus? And so Jesus has told them a series of stories about a man who lost one of his 100 sheep, and he went out and he found that. He brought it back and he rejoiced. And then a woman who lost one of her 10 coins, and she searched everywhere, and she found that coin, and she had a party, and she threw a party. And then one man his youngest son, asked for part of his inheritance, then he went off to a far country, wasted all his money, and then he came back home, and the father welcomed him home and embraced him, and celebrated and threw a party. And then Jesus tells this story. And so what happens in the story? It says there was a rich man whose manager was accused of wasting his possessions. So we have a wealthy man who has a lot. And he has a manager, someone who oversees his properties, who oversees his business dealings, who does maybe his bookkeeping for him. And the rich man figures out that the man has been wasting his possessions. So he calls him in and asks him, what is this I hear about you? Give an account of your management, because you cannot be my manager any longer. So he's realized that this manager has been mishandling his money. He's lost money for him. He put him in charge so he can make more money, and this manager has lost money. So he says, you're done. And then the manager says to himself, this is kind of one of those little clues that happens, because if you've been listening to Jesus' stories, sometimes what happens in the story is the person starts talking to themselves. We kind of pay attention to what's going on. If you were here last week, we had the story of this man who had a good crop, and then it says, and the man said to himself, self, I'm going to build some more barns, and I'm going to sit back, and I'm going to be healthy. The story of the lost son, the one that I just talked about, where this son takes his inheritance and goes off, and he wastes the money in a faraway land. There's a moment where this son has spent everything. He got himself a job feeding pigs. He's looking down at what the pigs are eating. He's starting to feel a little bit hungry. And then he starts to have this conversation with himself. He says, well, if I were back at my dad's house, his servants eat better than that. And so here we have this same sort of conversation. The man looks and he's facing a crisis. He's facing a moment of decision. The moment of crisis is he's losing his job. He's losing his job. And then he says, well, I'm too weak to dig. I'm too proud to beg. So what am I going to do? And so he says, I've got a great idea. I'm going to make some friends, so that when that moment comes when I lose my job, I at least have some people to take care of me. And so he goes to some of his master's debtors and he asks him, he says, well, what do you owe? And the first one who comes to him, he says, well, I owe 900 barrels of olive oil. I don't know what you would do with 900 barrels of olive oil. It's a whole lot of frying, cooking. But he's got these 90, he says, and the manager looks at him and says, well, I'll make it 450. And then he looks at the next one. He says, what do you owe? He says, well, I owe 1,000 bushels of wheat. He says, well, quick, before my master figures it out, write down 800. Now, if you're one of those debtors, what do you think of this guy? Or put it in contemporary terms, imagine there's a banker at Community Shores. Not that bankers necessarily have this power, but the banker finds out that he's losing his job. And so he looks and he says, well, I'm going to lose my job, and I don't have any manual labor skills. I'm not going to go on welfare. So what am I going to do? He says, wait a minute, I'm going to make some friends. And so he goes over, he says, how much do you owe on your house? He said, well, I still owe $60,000. Make it $30,000. How much do you owe on your car? Well, I still have $5,000 left on the payment. Well, make it $3,000. Well, how much do you owe on your credit card? Well, I've got a $2,000 balance. Let's make it $800. Now, if you were one of those people who just had your mortgage payment or your car payment or your credit card balance just kind of wiped out like that, I know how I would feel. If somebody looked at my mortgage and said, well, let's cut it in half. Hey, you're my new best friend. And that's exactly what this manager does. He makes himself friends. But now, if you're the master, if you're the rich man, you've got a manager who, first of all, you're firing because he's mismanaged your possessions. So he's already lost you money once. And now, all the people who owe you money, he's gone out and cut the amount of money that they owe. They're happy because they don't have to pay as much back. You, on the other hand, aren't getting back all the money you're owed. And so imagine now Jesus' disciples, his followers, are listening, and they're following along with this story, and they're saying, okay, God, I'm not sure where Jesus is going with this yet, but maybe it's going to be another one of those stories where this servant or this manager, this steward, goes running to the master and says, oh, master, I'm so sorry. I've done wrong things. And the master embraces him, hugs him, say, oh, it's okay. And we have this another great story of redemption in the kingdom of God. But that's not what happens. Instead, Jesus takes it on an interesting twist. Because what happens instead? The rich man looks at this manager who has just conned him, who's just stolen a bunch of his money, who's just used the master's money to make himself some friends, looks and says, good job. Good job? What do you mean good job? Why? Here's what he says. The manager told him, master commended the dishonest manager. He gives him a pat on the back. He gives him the certificate to hang on his wall. He says, you're a really bright guy. That was something bright. Because he had acted shrewdly. And this is the point in the story where most of us say, huh? What is this? And especially when Jesus goes on and he says, for the people of this world are more shrewd in dealing with their own kind than are people of the light. I tell you, use worldly wealth to gain friends for yourself so that when it is gone, you will be welcomed into eternal dwellings. So it even sounds like Jesus is saying, look at the guy in the story. He did the kind of thing that you're supposed to do. So we're still scratching our heads saying, wait a minute. Jesus is saying I'm supposed to steal from people? I don't think that's what Jesus is saying. So this is the point of the story where lots of debate happens, where lots of people question and wonder, saying, what is Jesus trying to say here? And so one of my professors in seminary that I had it when I was at North Park, wrote a book on the parables. And he goes through every one of the single parables of Jesus, and he talks about the background and the ancient Jewish background, and then he reviews the different approaches or different opinions that people take. Because some of the parables, there's maybe two or three different ideas about what's going on in the parable. In this particular parable, in the chapter where he covers this story, he lays out 16 different options, 16 different ways that scholars have tried to make sense of what Jesus is saying here. How many of you want to hear all 16? Yeah, no. And some of them, if you really want to read them, some of them are just flat out crazy. Because I think people are grasping at things. They're looking and saying, this isn't making any sense. So they're grasping at things. But what I think when Klein, who wrote the book, approaches this and comes to a conclusion, I think that's where I kind of land, and I'm not suggesting that I'm smarter than these 16 other schools of scholars, but as you look at it, you see what's going on. So we have to look at the big story. So what's happening? Here's this manager, this steward, who's coming to this moment of crisis. The crisis is what? Losing his job. And he looks at that crisis and he says, I need to do something so that after the crisis has passed, when the crisis comes, I'm taken care of. I need to look out for my future. I need to secure my future. And so he uses what he knows. He operates within the system that he's a part of. And that's how Jesus says it. For the people of this world are more shrewd in dealing with their own kind. He uses his own system to secure things for himself. And Jesus is now making a comparison. He's saying, now you as my followers, you as children of the light, you need to do the same thing. But the crisis you're facing, this moment of crisis, isn't losing your job. The crisis is, what will happen when you die? So Jesus says, use worldly wealth to gain friends so that when it is gone, meaning both your wealth and your life, when it is gone, you will be welcomed. He's saying, look at what's coming, and there's a moment coming when you will die. There's a moment coming when you will face God. And he's saying, use what you have now. Use this worldly wealth. Some of the older translations, the King James say this unrighteous mammon. These things of this world, this money that is tainted, this money that has power, this money that corrupts. Use that in this world so that when the judgment day comes, you're prepared for that. He's saying there's a crisis, and so we have to respond in light of that crisis. He's saying we do a really good job, that people do a really good job of planning for their retirement, of securing their worldly things, but we often don't think about what we do in this world and how we use money and how that relates to God and his kingdom. And so I think that's what Jesus is getting at, is that there is this crisis coming and we all will face it. And we need to act in light of that crisis. We need to think about the fact that we all have money. How do we use our money in the light of that crisis? How do we use our money? How do we use the wealth of this world in light of a day when we won't have any more wealth? How do we use our wealth in light of the day when we will die? And what do we do with it? And so Jesus asks us and challenges us with that question. Now, I can't tell you what it looks like for you. I can tell you that money has power and that money can corrupt. And Jesus talks about that last verse we heard read, where it says, no one can serve two masters. Either you will hate the one and love the other, you will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. That money has a power over us, that it can corrupt and twist us. So I can't tell you what it looks like, but what I can invite you to do is say, how can I use the wealth that I have? How can I use the wealth that God has given me, even though it's corrupted, to make a difference, to use it not for myself, but to use it for God and use it for others in light of the crisis? I can't tell you what it looks like for you. Sometimes we come to church and we hope the pastor will just say, well, Pastor, just tell me what I need to do. Because the reality is, it's going to look different for each and every person. And that's just not me trying to cop out and not have to come up with explanations, but it's realizing that for each and every one of us, the response to that crisis and how we use that wealth to show our love for God and our love for others is going to be different. So you might be using that wealth and you might say, I'm going to use some of this unrighteous money, some of this money that's tainted, this money that I can't take with me, and I'm going to use it to go to camp. And I'm going to take my son along with me, and we're going to hear about Jesus, and we're going to do that. Or you might choose to use it to send some other kids to camp. Or you might use it to sponsor a child on the other side of the world. Or you might use it even to take your family on a vacation because you realize you've been working so hard, and you've been going and going, and your family's disconnected and doing all those things. And one of the ways that we care for our family is by spending time with one another. You might use it to fix up your house a little bit so that you can make room for your mother to move in with you. You might use it to fund an education for somebody. You might use it, and the list goes on and on. But the question that Jesus is asking is saying, there is this moment of crisis. There's this moment coming when you will be dead. There's a moment coming when your wealth will be gone. And he's saying, how are you going to use your wealth in the meantime to show your love for God and your love for others? How are you going to use it in a good way? And that's what the manager did. What the manager, this steward, was commended for was recognizing, I got to figure out what I'm going to do. And that's the same question Jesus is posing to us. What are we going to do? What are we going to do in light of this crisis? How are we going to use the wealth that God has given to us, whether it's a large amount or a small amount? How are we going to use it for God and His kingdom? How are we going to use it to love God and to love others? So I would invite you to have that conversation with God. To say, God, how do you want me to use what I have for others? How do you want me to use what I have for your kingdom? How do you want me to use this money that can corrupt and twist away? How do you want me to use it so that it doesn't take me away from you? How do you want me to use it to serve you rather than serving the money? And ask God to help you. Ask God to help you sort that out, and I think God will help you sort it out. Help you figure out how to use it best for His kingdom. Because that's what Jesus is asking. He's saying, what are you going to do with this to prepare for the crisis when it comes? What are you going to do with the wealth that you have in light of what's coming? So ask God, and I think God will show you. God will show you what you can do to use your wealth for His kingdom. Use the wealth that He's given for loving Him and loving others.